On this episode of Irish Global Solidarity in 100 Objects, I spoke with Fiona King of the National College of Art and Design. I mean it when I say that this exhibition probably would not have happened without her and Tony Murphy's support and advice. In the early stages of planning for the exhibition, Tony Daly and I had a great sounding board in Fiona and Tony. It gets confusing with all these Tonys. They helped us to develop our ideas and sowed a few seeds of their own as well. They pointed us in the direction of Connor Clark of Design Factory, who created the 100 Objects logo and the overall style, alongside the amazing Ruby Corcoran, who worked so hard with us in those days and weeks in the lead up to the exhibition and really took pride in what she produced for us and essentially made us look good. Fiona and I chat about art education, artivism, creating space for change and why art really matters. We also explored the role of art in communicating issues we all grapple with and how finding your connection in the world really has to start from within. Fiona King, welcome to the Irish Global Solidarity in 100 Objects podcast. Thanks for coming on and giving us your time.
Thanks very much, Kira. I'm delighted to be here.
Great. And for those who don't know, Fiona is the coordinator of the Professional Master of Education program and a lecturer and researcher in art education within the School of Education in NCAD. Quite the mouthful. And you're a graduate from Crawford College of Art and Design, where you studied fine art print, which I did not know about until only recently, till you said it to me on the phone the other day. And you got your postgrad and master's qualification in art education there. Why art education?
I actually did my qualification in art education, in the National College of Art and Design. So I came back to that in kind of mid to late 20s. So when I left our college with it was a diploma actually at that stage in fine art printmaking. I really didn't know what to do. I wasn't certain about, you know, I probably wasn't confident enough in terms of my understanding on my practice as an artist. And also around that time, I had my first child as well. Okay. So there's a lot of responsibility there.
Yeah, a lot of change.
But I think I drifted kind of into art education through actually being a member of this art squad, which was this kind of initiative at the time where you worked with a lot of different community groups. And I just kind of, in a way, found a rhythm and found a real interest in you know, the possibilities of using your practice.
But some of that community, the background community stuff through your art squad, that sounds really interesting. And that's what kind of brought you down the road of art education, is it?
It did, absolutely, because, you know, it was this opportunity, I suppose, to use your practice in a way that felt meaningful and to understand, you know, the methods and the processes you go through, how you could see that as a methodology.
Yeah.
And then you were still in some ways keeping connected with a fine art practice. And also that, I suppose, social engagement of teaching and, you know, that ability to be able to encourage and to support learners. And I think in a way, it keeps you connected with your practice. But at the same time, you know, it probably was fulfilling something that maybe I didn't feel confident enough to say that I was an artist. So I was still very much connected to art.
I suppose you're not kind of putting yourself out there as an individual as much, I suppose, maybe, you know, in your...
Yeah, and I think the social engagement of teaching and learning and even designing curriculum, I mean, that's what kind of excites me. You know, and still you're generating ideas, you're still working through the kind of fluidity of an artist's practice, you know, you're creating work. But, you know, and you're doing it as well. There's that sense of collaboration, I suppose, when you're in a classroom and you're learning, they're learning. So the art squad as well was a kind of a very interesting space for people because it allowed you to work with so many different, in so many different type of educational contexts. So you would work, you know, within the community. I mean, like I was working even with service users out in Port Aran. That was an amazing experience where they created just a beautiful body of work that we ended up exhibiting. You were working with teens, you know, you were working in situations with lone parents. So you were working also with the elderly. So there was just, you were working with society as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were kind of shaping your pedagogy or shaping your methodology, you know, to work within those contexts. So I think that's why then I decided, look, you know, I suppose in some ways you have to think of your career trajectory and you have to think of being able to earn money. So I made the decision then to go back and do the formal qualification to study to become an art and design teacher.
Yeah.
National College of Art and Design. And I do love working with young people. I mean, that did drive me for quite a few years when I was out there, you know, working in Raheny, actually in St. Paul's, and then also in Malahide Community School. Mm. Like I just enjoy that energy, the amazing creative talent that you can work with in a classroom, you know, and just people who are, you know, children, students who are just enthusiastic and love art.
Mm. And I suppose while it's the same curriculum that you're following, the different element is the students and what they bring to it that changes it and kind of, I suppose, flips it on its head every time.
Yeah.
Is that you're kind of approaching things from a different angle every time because of what the students bring to it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose what's really interesting now just is this, you know, the emergence of this new curriculum. So there's a new curriculum, a new specification for junior cycle and senior cycle within visual arts. So, you know, this is much more kind of aligned to third level methodologies, third level pedagogies, where it's all about the process. It's all about, you know, idea generation. It's all about contextualizing your work with contemporary artist practice. So, you know, it's a really interesting specification now that we're working with, which gives, you know, young learners out there just huge opportunities and huge opportunities to kind of engage with the world that they live in and potentially with maybe issues, you know, that concern them and to see how they can explore that through an artist practice. So it's, you know, the exam isn't as much the driver anymore. It's not all about finished pieces of work.
Mm.
And it's not always about as well being, you know, this amazing, technically proficient drawer or painter or sculptor. It's, you know, it is more about, like, you know, your ideas, you know, how you engage with thematics, you know, how you see art way beyond just being, you know, technically proficient. And you know, so I think it's become a much more interesting space in terms of the possibilities of creating artwork and seeing the purpose of why you engage with art processes, seeing art as the potential as a social commentator.
I find it really interesting from listening to you talk about kind of your career, I suppose, your career trajectory. And it seems like there was always, maybe not necessarily consciously so, but there was always a very strong kind of social thread or social conscience thread through your work and the need to kind of work in that space.
Yeah.
And I suppose that would have kind of fed into the creation of the Change Lab in NCAD, that it was yourself and Tony Murphy kind of birthed this space for students. Would it be, I'd love to hear a bit more of the background on that and its conception and a bit more, I suppose, to explain what it is as well from the outset for those who would be unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, so basically, I suppose Tony Murphy and I, we co-lead this module. It's in year two of the PME program, and it's called the Change Lab. So it's this kind of pedagogical, this learning and teaching initiative that locates global citizenship education within the heart of learning.
Mm-hmm.
In the professional master program, and also actually, I suppose, global citizenship education, that term, you know, we formally use the term development education. Mm. In some ways, I suppose it came about because of myself and Tony's belief in the potential of art as a social commentator. And also the primary aim of it, in a way, is to create this kind of critical immersive space for learning and thinking, and then re-envisioning, you know, this new ways of teaching art and design with the dawning of this new specification. Mm. And teaching art and visual art through the lens of global citizenship education.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it began with our connection with the Ubuntu Network and with Deirdre Hogan, who's been an amazing support to us.
Yeah.
In terms of us grappling with what is development education, what is global, you know, citizenship education, what is
the eternal question?
And how can we embed this in a really meaningful way within our, you know, subject discipline of our art, craft and design? And also, I think what we wanted to do is look at, okay, the way you create a sustainable pedagogy, or the way you really immerse yourself within the design of curriculum, is to start from the context of your practice as an artist, mm-hmm. or as a designer. So the way the Change Lab, their experience of the Change Lab, is first and foremost, we talk about their identity. Their identity as an artist, their identity as an educator, and their identity as a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of this, the meaning that these identities hold, and then also, do they feel or do they think that global citizenship education can be weaved within the context of these practices?
Mm-hmm.
And does their practice as an artist have an ethical and a cultural and, I suppose, even a political, a social dimension?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is questioning all the time and not necessarily finding the answers within the Change Lab experience.
Mm.
As well, the physicality of where the Change Lab is, I suppose, is very...
Yeah, well, I just think it's really interesting that the students are given that space. And I mean that in a physical sense, but also a mental sense, to unpack some of those thought processes around what it is to be an artist, what it is to be an educator. You use the word researcher as well, and I would throw in the word activist too, just because, you know, like that would be kind of where we would come from. And I just think, like, having that space to work through some of those is fantastic, and I'm sure quite challenging as well. I mean, for you as a practitioner as well, but also for the students who perhaps might only be encountering using a global education lens for the first time on their work.
So first of all, I suppose where the Change Lab is situated is really important. So it takes place in the gallery in the National College of Art and Design. And we have worked as well in the past very closely with Anne Kelly, who's the curator in the gallery. And to be honest, when we first approached her, because I think where this actually came about was Irish Aid was asking us, did we want to showcase the work that we've done with the students?
Mm-hmm.
About nearly a decade of work that we'd done through the development education module mm-hmm. on the PMO program. So it started off with, okay, we'll do this showcase exhibition. And we had these conversations with Anne Kelly where she said, well, you know, in a way, this is all about the process. It's not really about the outcome. In some ways, it's a methodology. Yeah. It's a pedagogy. You're unpacking what is global citizenship education as an educational process, along with grappling with all these huge issues and the sustainable development goals.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, is the exhibition not the process?
Yeah.
What if we situate it in a gallery and it becomes a learning lab?
Mm.
So, you know, and it becomes a place where you can invite a public audience in throughout the process of the month that we're actually situated in the gallery, where they can see, you know, the student teachers grappling with these concepts of global citizenship education, creating these huge mind maps, working through, you know, lens-based art, working through the materiality of, you know, creating work and, you know, thinking through a process where they're looking at a particular thematic, you know, a social justice or a human rights or an environmental theme. And, they're, you know, producing this work on the gallery walls. And so that's where the Change Lab was born out of, that they are situated in there for a month. They work collaboratively because that's part of the process, creating this kind of democratic environment where everybody's voice is heard, you know, the complexity of group work, you know, where they have to share ideas. They often have to give up ideas for the greater good of a body of work. So what they're also experiencing is working with global citizenship education themes, you know, everything from concepts to stewardship to, you know, intergenerational justice, you know, looking at maybe aspects of, you know, climate justice, looking at the housing crisis, but they're also experiencing a pedagogy, a methodology where they're understanding how the group dynamic works. So what they're doing in there is they're understanding how this method will then translate when they go out into the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And they teach a unit of learning that relates to their experience. But what is very interesting in the gallery space is they actually often say, stop talking to us about being teachers. We need to actually immerse ourselves in the practice of being artists, because otherwise what we will create may be too literal.
Okay.
And we're always then focusing on our young student learners as an audience and how we communicate to them. Whereas we have to work, you know, on this in this moment of time at a very sophisticated level. Because they're working with really complex themes. And, you know, it's that also complexity of curating difficult knowledge. So there's huge,
it's very raw materials in every sense.
Yeah. And like they're, you know, and they're also working with each other. Like there's, you know, there's dynamics within the group that they have to manage that, you know, depending on what way they want this work to materialize and what focus, like drawing in the parameters of the research, of the focus of whatever you know, theme they're working with. And they, we always anchor it with the Sustainable Development Goals. That's kind of our starting point. And actually our starting point is the photo book that we do before we step into the space.
Okay.
So this is very much driven by Tony Murphy. And what they do is...
His background is photography, isn't it?
Yeah, he would be kind of... Well, he would be a sculptor, but yeah, he's also a lens-based artist. So what we begin with, you know, a precursor to the experience of the Change Lab is we give them this brief, and it's actually turned into this brief that's called Moment in Time, and that probably was significant in relation to COVID. Mm. So where they kind of think about their context of place and space. So this kind of big overarching thematic of place and space and what their locale, what their community means to them, and how they contribute, I suppose, within their community. So they grapple with these kind of themes to start with, but from a very insular perspective, from their artist perspective.
Yeah.
So they work through images, you know, they could be using, it's usually lens-based based art. So they would work through photography, they could work through film, they could even record soundscapes, there could be an element of drawing, but they kind of create this photo narrative around their sense of place and their sense of space.
And this is almost like a baseline then to kind of further explore.
Yeah. It's kind of to immerse them in practice before we even talk about global citizenship education.
Okay.
And it's to think through, like, what does my practice as an artist mean to me? Because sometimes when they enter into the PME program, they've kind of lost their practice sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
That immersion and kind of to build that confidence again in, you know, as an artist, does my practice have a, you know, a social, ethical, cultural dimension to it, a political dimension to it? So they create this photo narrative, and often it's very personal.
Yeah.
And, you know, they often can consider place in relation to a person that means something to them. Mm. But it's that kind of building empathy, awareness, understanding around, you know, their positionality, I suppose, and you know, what they stand for, what they value, thinking about the potential of art as a social commentator. So, you know, they're brought through this process, you know, facilitated by Tony. They create these kind of really beautiful, poetic, photographic narratives of what place and space means through a kind of a social justice lens.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we actually, before they enter into the Change Lab, we select groups in relation to the thematics that are kind of common among the students, so that we kind of try first and foremost to get people that are kind of grappling with the same types of thematics. So if there's something, you know, that students are particularly interested in, maybe aspects of the environment, you know, so it's really right back to kind of your personal engagement with your practice.
Yeah.
And that then can be quite complex, because you're moving into the Change Lab where there's going to be a group dynamic. You're going to, you know, probably extend what you're doing into the global context of global citizenship education. So it's to move from that insular perspective of what your artist practice means to engage with, you know, the wider population, you know, to engage with a public audience, to make a social commentary about an issue that means something to you.
It sounds like a fantastic journey to go through to kind of consolidate your space in the world. Like, you know, just even like working on your own self as an artist, but then to bring the global into it can always be a struggle. How do they find navigating that space of bringing in the global? Does it kind of...
You know, it's sometimes, Ciara, they don't achieve it. As in, it kind of stays within, you know, maybe a particular issue that is within their, you know, community that they want to grapple with. But we kind of feel that's okay as long as it's a deep reflective process of looking at, you know, some of the, you know, the huge issues that we're grappling with at the moment in terms of Irish society. You know, but as long as it's meaningful and as long as it's authentic. But when they move into the Change Lab space, we're very lucky to work with, you know, Dr. Jerry Jeffers, who does this really interesting Newtown project, you know, where they look at the context of potentially being town planners.
Okay, yeah.
And looking at, you know, issues within a community. If you were a town planner, like, you know, what are the, you know, the issues that relate to you, I suppose, designing and creating a community that is inclusive.
The contribution of the creative arts and the whole idea of why, what's the point? I'd love to kind of maybe unpack some of that.
I suppose when you look at art and when you experience art, it's such a visceral, tacit experience that it kind of, you know, it's nearly an embodied experience. So it, you know, art is a huge potential to communicate.
Absolutely.
And I suppose it depends on, you know, where you stand, what is your positionality. But, you know, in terms of, I suppose, my interest, I always felt, you know, that art is a social commentator, you know, art that has an ethical dimension, you know, that that, you know, looks at issues within society is art that really matters.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's coming from, you know, a personal sense of what art means to me. And in a way, I suppose you have to be careful projecting that agenda because we are in, you know, I suppose, positions of power within a program because we're able to design, you know, programs and we're able to shape it in a certain way. But from my experience, I suppose, of working within the creative arts, working as an educator within the School of Education, I find that, you know, a lot of the students would be on the same wavelength and they really feel the importance of the significance of how art can communicate issues that we all are grappling with, you know, and it's in a way, you know, it starts off with the personal and the local, you know, but then it moves into, you know, you finding that, you know, art can be so purposeful in terms of communicating issues that mean something to you. But I think sometimes they come out of this feeling, my art is more purposeful. Purposeful for me to be able to present what I value. And it's purposeful for me to be able to understand it within the realm of me growing as an educator. And it's purposeful for me to be able to look at the issues that young people are dealing with. Really serious issues, and be able to say, well, look, you actually can work this through, you know, within a critical space, you know, or critically work your ideas and generate your ideas through a visual process.
I love that idea. It's a phrase you've said a couple of times now, space and place.
Yeah.
And I just love that idea of art being like creating a space and place, whether that's the physical embodiment of a piece of art, whatever that might be, but it also being something within the viewer as well. So somebody who is looking at your piece of art and they're being given a space and place to kind of think about an issue in their own head or work through it, and something that kind of makes you think and makes you reflect and makes you question whether that's yourself or your beliefs or values or whatever that might be.
It's that kind of embodied experience, like I'm reading now, it's this humanistic geographer, and he kind of brings a philosophical lens, you know, to that sense of place. And even I was reading it before I came on, but he speaks about place is security, space is freedom, we are attached to the one and long for the other, there is no place like home. And we kind of, I think that's the way to begin. Start from your sense of self, your belief system, your values. It's actually Yifu Tuan is the philosopher, but it's and I think that's their way in. So I think what is can be very difficult is if you begin this process, if you start from a global context and you're looking at maybe something like, you know, it could be, you know, hunger, poverty, conflict, it's totally abstract to them.
Yeah.
Unless they have been in a conflict zone or unless they, you know, have experience of aid work, which some of them may have, but in general, you have to bring them right back to that starting position, you know, that kind of insular position of what does my practice mean to me? And therefore, you know, how can I communicate through this? And, you know, what meaning and value can I bring to maybe issues that I'm grappling with or issues within my community? So it starts from a very kind of insular level. And to, you know, to move through to look at maybe issues on from a national context and then potentially a global context, you know.
Can we go back to you, Fiona the artist, Fiona the educator, Fiona the activist? Did you have like an aha moment where you kind of realized that including a global education lens on whether it's your work as a lecturer and a researcher or whether it's your work as an artist? Did you have a moment where you kind of realized it was important to include that as part of your thinking?
Yeah, I think I always felt it was important, but I didn't understand how to create a pedagogy, like how to really teach it with substance. And I think it was our engagement with Deirdre Hogan and the Ubuntu Network.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
And I think the aha moment came when Deirdre spoke to me about development education, as we termed it then, is not just about grappling with these, you know, huge, complex, contested in a way, themes around, you know, about humanity and society and the environment. You know, development education is also an educational process. So it's methodologies, you know, it's group dynamics, it's a value and belief system, you know, it's a philosophy, it's a critical pedagogy.
Mm.
So and I also looked at kind of place-based education and critical pedagogy, which are two discourses that are blended together to, you know, to create this critical pedagogy of place.
Mm.
So that was kind of aha moments that what is the pedagogical framework? What is the teaching and learning framework that we are working with that supports these student teachers to then design curriculum that is really meaningful, that underpins global citizenship education into their classrooms?
Mm.
So I think this and this idea as well, I just did a little bit of reading around how curriculum can become placeless.
Yeah, okay.
And can be very removed from your sense of community and your sense of place.
Mm.
So critical pedagogy of place is that drive towards re-inhabiting your sense of place, your locale, your environment, and creating teaching and learning resources around that.
Mm.
And therefore, then you can look at concepts of intergenerational justice, stewardship, and you can do it through, I mean, it can be through geography, it can be through science, it can be through English, you know, the poetic, it can be through music, it can obviously be through visual art. So I think the aha moment came through the support of Ubuntu Network. Also, there was many aha moments. It's also with working with you and Tony and understanding kind of being deeply invested in how art has such a potential to grapple with these complex, contested themes, and you kind of supporting us in terms of your in-depth knowledge.
To end on a question that might be slightly left afield, from the perspective of an artist and the art world, I suppose, curriculum could be seen to be very rigid and a rigid space to work in. Do you think change can happen within the curriculum? And I don't mean within the curriculum itself, but I mean, do you think social change, challenges to injustices can happen within the curriculum?
I think definitely within the visual art curriculum.
Mm. It sounds like it from what you're explaining, yeah.
Yeah, there's huge potential because this new curriculum at both senior cycle and junior cycle. I mean, I think it was implemented 2016 and 2018 for the senior cycle. It's very much draws on, again, as I said, this kind of, artist pedagogy that, how does an artist work? How does a designer grapple with particular thematics? And then within the senior cycle, there's this, and within visual studies, there's today's world, where, the young learners look at art as a social commentator, and then also how art exists within the environment. That is huge potential to explore human rights and social justice and, environmental issues. And in fact, calls for that
Yeah.
in terms of how you engage it and looking at contemporary art practice and how that, how contemporary art practice grapples with, societal issues and
I think about how rigid it was when I studied art for my Leaving Cert, and it really was so rigid, you know. There was no room, like it was about technical ability, it was about skill. There was no kind of, it really felt like there was no room for expanding on that at all, you know.
Yeah, so like what's valued more, much more, is that process, the ideas that you generate, how you contextualize, your work and your creation of works through relevant artist practice. Also, contemporary art practice is much more significant, and rightly so, within the curriculum. So they can work with processes and techniques that move way beyond maybe traditional methods of art, craft, and design. They can create photo narratives. So the actual specification is really, really, it's opened. Now, again, the one thing that I would say in terms of the exam is obviously always the driver, in terms of our whole system and having
Yeah,
to
it's hard to
acquire
move away
points
from
and
it.
then move on to third level. But I think what would be important in the future is the potential to work collaboratively. And that's not valued in the exam. So, I mean, and there, that's where I suppose art becomes a social practice.
Yeah.
So it's still, the exam still is very much driven by, the individual and the individual response, even though the curriculum is allowing for spaces to do collaborative work and to engage with one's community as well, which is very important as well. That's within the junior cycle also. But I think then we have to honor and value those processes within our assessment process. That's what's so important. So, the formative assessment process of art, that if they are going to look, and importantly so, art as a social commentator and art within the environment, that they can engage with communities, they can engage with their peers, and they create work that then can be assessed as part of their overall Leaving Certificate exam. That kind of, I suppose, synergy between assessment and between the process of the specification maybe could be worked on a little bit more moving into the future. But I think there's huge potential with this new specification to become socially engaged, socially charged, to see that ability of your artwork engaging with an audience, as a young 17, 18-year-old, to make a statement of what matters to you. What does it mean to make and create art that is of and for our time? That's the whole purpose of the Change Lab.
Well, Fiona, thank you very much for joining us in our space.
Well, look, thank you so much to you and Tony, because I mean, you have shaped as well a huge amount of what we do and informed our practice as probably reluctant global citizenship educators. So thank you very much, Kira.
Thanks again to Fiona for joining us, but most importantly for hers and Tony Murphy's input into this project. It really was invaluable for us, and we are eternally grateful. On the next episode, we speak to Irish human rights campaigner, filmmaker, and therapist Caoimhe Butterley.